Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and get started. We're actually resuming our meeting from this morning, but for the record, this is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is March 19, 2008. The time is 1:34 p.m., and we're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The title board this afternoon consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs, Deputy Secretary of State, here on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. To my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who is here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. And to my left is Dan Carton, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my far left is Maury Kanizer, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the title board. And to my far right is Ceci Gomez from the Secretary of State's office. For the measures, we have four measures this afternoon. There are sign-up sheets for anybody who wishes to testify. If anybody does wish to testify, be sure and identify yourself for the record and who you represent. The usual procedure is that we will first, for each measure, ask proponents, as members of the title board, if we have any questions about the measure to make sure that we understand the measure. Second step is to determine if the board has jurisdiction to set a title, which requires us to determine if the measure complies with the single subject requirement. And then third, if the board determines that it has jurisdiction to set a title, then we will proceed to work from a staff-prepared draft. And the staff-prepared drafts are on the table by the door. With that, let's turn to the first agenda item this afternoon, 2007-2008, number 73, criminal conduct by businesses liability. Mr. Gruskin, I think you represent proponents. Perhaps if you would come forward and introduce yourself, and if you have any introductory remarks, let us know.
My name is Mark Gruskin. I am representing the proponents. And number 73 is a recrafted version of, I believe, initiative number 57, so this issue is moving forward. I don't think there are any comments that I would need.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Gruskin? Don't think I have any, so doesn't sound like there's questions. So let's go ahead and consider whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. I perhaps, although Mr. Gruskin, assuming you don't have any comments about that issue, then maybe I'll ask Mr. Friednash if he does.
Good afternoon. Doug Friednash, appearing on behalf of law firm Fairfield & Woods and Vector through the Chamber of Commerce, Denver Chamber. The problem we have here is the same problem we revisited last a few weeks ago with respect to the liability issue. And again, we have a single subject issue with regard to having the criminal liability aspect, the civil liability aspect. And I think the exemption from the spending, which we talked about, and I understand your position on that, although in this instance, I think it's even more exacerbated by the fact that the monies are, I guess, are going to be paid to different governmental entities. I'm not sure how that's going to work, quite frankly, and I'm not sure what governmental entities are contemplated by this. If you look by way of example only to Initiative 76, that's before you, there's a pretty broad definition of governmental entities. I'm not clear on what the laws are that are contemplated by this specifically. It's been tailored down a little to define the criminal liability aspect to executive officials. I think that's one aspect. The bill title or the title of this initiative is Liability for Criminal Conduct by Business. Obviously, it goes a lot further than that. We're talking about executive officials who are, in essence, either officers or directors or business owners on one hand. And then the next, and those people are then subject to fines and as I understand that, not incarceration, but fines. And then you have a separate civil aspect, again, based on monetary damages that can be brought by a Colorado resident. Again, I don't know who defines a Colorado resident, but again, that is against a business entity or executive official, again, with the damages going to, I think it's more complicated in respect to what governmental entity it would go to, and then attorney's fees and costs to the successful proponent or litigant who brought the lawsuit. So in essence, I believe those are the single subject problems with it. I will get to the misleading and confusing aspect of it if we get to that aspect of the title itself. But I think the problems that we previously previously looked at are again present here and maybe more profound in the sense that I'm not clear exactly what conduct violates this, what conduct would then become the elemental nature of a civil case, and then finally, who the damages are paid to, what governmental entities, and how that's going to be decided and considered. So those are the issues that I think are before you, which I know you're familiar with.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there questions for Mr. Friednash? I guess not. Thank you. We have had quite a bit of discussion when a predecessor version was before us. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement? Hearing none, then I'll turn to board discussion on that question. Is there any discussion by the board?
Well, I'll start since I've had the problem with the previous version of this. And I don't think it solves kind of the fundamental problem that I had with that, although it does, it is a little more straightforward, I think. The fundamental problem I had was both creating a new liability for individuals, which is, this does in subsection 1.5. It's not as broad a class of individuals as the previous version, but it still does that. And then adding on to both for those individuals and business entities a new form of liability for the same conduct, for the same reasons I've stated before, I think is two subjects that are, while of course related to the very broad subject of liability for things that business entities do, unrelated to one another in a way that would, I think, surprise a lot of people that those two things would be done at the same time. And so this version, 73, doesn't resolve the issues I've had previously.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Carton, do you have any comments?
I don't have much to offer, Mr. Chair, beyond what beyond my comments the last time. I know that the number 73 has been recrafted from a predecessor version. I think I understand the underlying statute better than I did the first time through. And just very briefly going through some of the relevant principles, and I appreciate Mr. Domenico's comments and food for thought. Some of the relevant principles, although an initiative may contain several purposes, they must be interrelated. I think the purposes of this measure are interrelated. It goes to the underlying criminal conduct of a business and extending that liability criminally and civilly to the business entity for the civil portion and to the executive officials under both civilly and criminally. I don't think the measure contains or hides any hidden purposes. I think it's right out there, right up front, and I think that the title, the staff draft, when we get to that, has full disclosure in that regard. Are there incongruous subjects in the same measure? I can't say that there are incongruous subjects. When you look at the definition of incongruous, it's inharmonious, incompatible. Again, I think that this is all woven together. And so I don't think there are two or more separate and discrete subjects here that aren't related. And so I know I'm repeating myself from the first time, but I would go forward to set a title for this measure because I feel it has a single subject.
Thank you, and I agree, and I do appreciate Mr. Domenico's concerns, and again, with reference to the discussions that we've had before, I just tend to believe that that there are not separate and distinct purposes here, and that the measure is concerning basically business liability, and I think the staff draft probably does a pretty good job of expressing what I think is a single subject. So I think I'm still a vote in favor of the measure's compliance with the single subject requirement. If there's no other discussion, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the title board find that 2007-2008 number 73 contains a single subject and proceed to set a title for the measure.
I'll second that. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Then let's turn to the staff prepared draft. Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff draft on the screen. Mr. Gruskin, have you had an opportunity to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I have had an opportunity to look at the staff draft. I do have some comments, and I'd like to pass out for the board's purposes. Mr. Chairman, I think the staff draft is largely accurate with the exception of the first clause that relates to describing when the liability for the executive officials comes into play. Specifically, the staff draft talks about an executive official who knowingly causes a business to fail to perform the duty, whereas what the initiative actually says is that you have to know of the duty and know of the failure to perform. There's no real specific causation element specified in the text before you. And therefore, I have recrafted that initial phrase after the statement of the single subject to more accurately reflect the fact that there is criminal liability for an executive official for the entity's failure to perform a specific duty imposed by law, which is what the measure and, frankly, the existing statute says. And then taking the elements of knowledge that are specified in initiative number 73 and making them clear so that people know that they're voting upon criminal liability where an official knows of a duty and knows that the duty hasn't been performed. And then I also put a clause in there relating to defining executive official because that may or may not be a term that people typically deal with. I think it is reasonably used here in connection with a business entity, but while I'm not tied to that particular addition, I think it doesn't hurt. So with those exceptions, I would ask you to adopt the staff draft and set this matter for a ballot title for petition circulation.
Thank you, Mr. Gruskin. I did have that, I think, a similar concern about the staff draft that seems to say that the executive official causes the failure to discharge, and it looks like your approach fixes that concern that I had. I was thinking about proposing a different approach to it, but I don't personally see a problem with the approach that you've taken here. So, questions from the board or comments?
I concur with that.
Okay. Well, let me hear from Mr. Friednash to see if he, I think he may have some concerns about the staff draft.
Thank you. The issue that I think this presents with regard to whether it's misleading or not is really two main pieces. One, you know, the title itself is Criminal Conduct by Business and Liability. And I think that's far more narrow than what this really does. I mean, because it's not just liability for business. not just criminal, it's liability for business from a civil standpoint, as well as liability for what are referred to as executive officials in that. So that's my first concern, is that I think it'll be misleading and confusing to voters. The second piece is that, again, it gets to the question of what exactly does this do and what are the elements of what it's doing. What specific duties does this measure contemplate? There are statutory duties that are found in laws and regulations that I think it refers to in part of this measure. And then there are common law duties and fiduciary duties of due care and things that have evolved from case law. And I don't know if they're trying to, the proponents of this measure are trying to incorporate all of those things or certain of those things, but I do think it will be very confusing to someone who's voting on these as to exactly what is being contemplated. On one aspect, we talk about an executive official who knowingly causes a business entity to fail to discharge a specific duty of affirmative performance, or even how he's redefined this under the in his amended draft. And then below, we talk about damages being awarded to the governmental entity that imposed the specific duty on the business entity. What if we're talking about duties that don't fall within the scope of a governmental entity's duties that have been imposed by law? What happens with those damages? Where do those damages go? Are they even covered by this? So I think that's part of the confusion that lies here. The next piece is, it says permitting a citizen to bring a civil action in this draft, and then I think the measure itself talks about a resident bringing this. I don't know if there's a difference between resident as it's defined under 18106, that's in the text of this, but that's the language in the text, and the language in the title talks about citizens. That may be a different definition under statute or case law than what appears in the text. I don't know if that's going to create confusion as well. I would suppose it would. Putting that for a second aside, I'm still not clear on why, if this applies to all types of regulations, we are limiting the individuals that can bring an action to just residents or citizens of the state. Because obviously if it applies to federal issues, since the people don't have to be harmed or injured to bring a lawsuit, in this case, it shouldn't be limited under this title. So those are my concerns.
Any questions for Mr. Friednash? Thank you. Oh, Mr. Carden, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Friednash, when I looked at the staff draft, your first argument relative to the subject of the measure as stated concerning liability for criminal conduct by business entities, I think that that's accurate, because I think that the liability does flow from the conduct of the business entity. And when I was looking at the staff draft, I played with whether or not it might be more specific to say concerning the liability of certain executive officials for criminal conduct by business entities, but I wasn't sure that would be completely accurate, because in 18.1606.1.5, that speaks to the criminal liability of an executive official, and in subsection 5A, that speaks to a private right of action against any business entity or his executive officials for conduct that meets the provisions of subsection 1.5. And so I guess that was why I didn't think that it may do more harm than good to try and clarify that by inserting liability of the executive officials, because I think it does, when you have the civil portion of it, I think it talks about liability of the business and the or executive official. So I would leave it as I understand your issue, but I think that may be the best way to craft it given the text.
Mm-hmm. I understand your position. I guess my concern is that it doesn't truly capture the scope and breadth of what it's really doing. That's why I raised that point.
Well, and I would just point out that's exactly why I don't think this is a single subject, because it's impossible to fix that clause in such a way to really capture what's going on here. And leaving it as is, I think, while sure, if you give all those words the broadest reading you can fit what's going on here under the concept of criminal conduct by business liability for criminal conduct by business entities. But I really think it's true that an average voter reading that would be surprised to learn that that includes extending both the concept of creating personal liability on certain individuals and creating civil liability for both those individuals and the business entity itself. And I agree, there's not a way to fix it, and that's why I have felt that these aren't a single subject all along.
And I guess I just hasten to add, I think that's why you're going to see 74 and 75 in a few minutes. I mean, it's all due respect, somewhat of an insurance policy. So it's, but I think that's the way it has to be crafted, two separate measures. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gruskin, do you have anything further?
Just a note of thanks to Mr. Friednesch. He's correct in terms of the reference to citizen. And what is my line 9? I think that is a leftover from an earlier draft on number 57 when the language did use citizen. And I think you could insert instead of a citizen and individual. Other than that, I think that the arguments are arguments that you've considered before and don't want to use an extraordinary amount of time. But I would remind you that the existing statute talks about a business entity is guilty of an offense, and then it sets forth certain conditions. So in terms of the breadth of duties, I think that there is clarity that in the existing criminal statute that it is specific to offenses that arise under specific kinds of statutes as opposed to, or for specific kinds of crimes which can only be penalized by statute. So I just don't share Mr. Friednesch's point of view.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Seeing none, then I'll turn to board discussion on the titles. I think Mr. Gruskin's alternative is a better version, because I think it does fix a problem that I think the staff draft has, and I also agree with Mr. Friednesch and Mr. Gruskin that the reference to a citizen bringing a lawsuit should change to an individual. And I understand Mr. Domenico's concerns. It is a point in your favor, Mr. Domenico, that it's hard to express the single subject, I think. But I do feel that stating that the subject is liability for criminal conduct by business entities is accurate. I think it is a criminal statute, even though the measure also imposes what I think is kind of a civil penalty for executive officials that that are involved with that criminal conduct of the business entity. But I don't see a better way to express what I do think is a single subject. I'm still open to possibilities. Is there any other discussion about the staff drafts?
Well, I'll just point out, I think Mr. Gruskin's, even though I'm going to end up voting against it, Mr. Gruskin's changes are an improvement, including the change of citizen to individual. One other change that was prompted by something Mr. Friednesh mentioned is the language about requiring that damages in the civil action be awarded to the governmental entity is a little, I mean, what the measure actually says is that those damages may be awarded to any governmental entity. And so I would suggest that instead of requiring something along the lines of allowing damages, replace that. I don't know how exactly that'll work, but I think that
it makes it thank a little you. I think that point's well taken. What if I guess I'll make a suggestion on line six. Well, line, I guess at the end of line five, is that where we are?
Are we talking about my last?
Yes.
Yeah, deleting requiring that and just replacing it with allowing, I think would solve that issue.
I guess I'd like to take a little bit deeper run at it. Go ahead and strike requiring, but that would leave it and say allowing. Then it would say allowing that damages. Kind of wanted to reword that a little bit.
Well, I would get rid of that.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to. Then you'd have to put, I think, somewhere in there, probably between action and B. Word two, T O. Think would.
Could I maybe do an alternative suggestion?
Of course.
I don't know whether this is better or not, but could we say? Allowing an award of damages in the civil action. Well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that creates another problem. What I'm trying to get is allowing an award of damages to the governmental entity. And I don't know. Now I'm not so sure that reads any better. Because I was going to, then I would strike it later in the sentence, but so that would read, allowing an award of damages in the civil action to the governmental entity that imposed the specific duty. Is that better or worse? If that reads okay, I guess that would be my suggestion.
I think that's probably actually better. Because it's not really clear to me from the language whether all the damages are supposed to go to this governmental entity or if part, or I mean, I don't really understand how the damages aspect is going to work, and this is kind of sort of reflects that uncertainty, I think.
Well, and a related point that I wanted to raise is whether we want to include the phrase that's in the measure of compensatory or punitive damages. Does it matter what kind of damages it is? The measure says, in a civil action brought under the section, compensatory or punitive damages may be awarded to any governmental entity that imposed, et cetera. Is that significant that it's compensatory or punitive damages?
I don't think it is.
Okay. Mr. Carton thinks that it's not significant.
As I say, I'm not sure how that's going to work. But that pretty much captures most of the universe of potential damages, I think. So just leaving it out in the title is probably okay.
I guess I'll move that change to the staff draft so that clause would read, allowing an award of damages in the civil action to the governmental entity that imposed the specific duty on the business entity.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No. That motion carries 3-0. I think Ms. Gomez is making some other changes on the version on the screen that we have talked about. In what is now line 7, she struck a citizen and substituted an individual. I'll go ahead and move that change.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, Mr. Domenico.
I just would like to discuss the spelling of individual. It's not quite right up there. On line 8, I think. Yeah. All right.
With that change, then, all those in favor of that change, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then I think the other changes that I would support that were suggested by Mr. Gruskin were to make some changes at the beginning of the measure. And which I think Ms. Gomez has finished reflecting in the version on the screen, so that after the in connection therewith, the title would read, extending the criminal liability of a business entity to its executive officials for the entity's failure to perform a specific duty imposed by law, semicolon. Conditioning an executive official's liability upon his or her knowledge of the duty imposed by law and of the business entity's failure to perform such duty. And I think at this point I'll stop. I see Mr. Gruskin also wanted to say defining, or suggested that we say defining an executive official. I think I'd like to have separate discussion on that. But my motion would be to incorporate those changes in the title as I read them.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. I want to provide an opportunity to read and reread that. Is there any further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And then I did want to ask about Mr. Gruskin's suggestion to include a clause that says defining, quote, executive official, unquote. I'm not sure that adds very much, but the definition is significant, but I'm curious what the other board members think about that suggestion.
Mr. Chairman, I think I agree with you. As it's written, I'm not sure that it adds much. From a drafting standpoint, I think that if you are going to talk about how you define executive official in the title, you probably want to say defining an executive official as, and include what an official, executive official is under this measure. And I guess, given the fact that I'm not sure that it's necessary for the title to include that definition, and that simply stating defining executive official standing alone doesn't add that much in my mind either, with all due respect to Mr. Gruskin, I'm not sure it's necessary to include that unless the proponents feel that that's an absolutely necessary to this title.
Mr. Gruskin.
I think that is a question, and the answer, I think, as I couched this originally, was that we weren't particularly tied to it. I think the fact that business entity is specifically defined under existing law, and those executive officials and their roles stem from that existing definition, provide added comfort in not getting into a lot of detail on that issue in the ballot title. So I'm fine deferring to your judgment.
Thank you.
I actually would prefer to keep it in there or put it in, even though I think I agree that it's not probably absolutely necessary. I do think, you know, part of what we're supposed to do, I think, in the titles is, since we aren't supposed to just repeat the entire measure itself, is give people a hint that if they're concerned about a certain concept, capture all the concepts in the measure. And then if people are concerned about it, they can look to the measure itself for the details. And so it seems to me that there may be people who read this and aren't quite sure the title as is and wonder, well, and see executive officials and may sort of be curious about that. And stating in the title that the measure defines who they are would give people who care about that enough information that they could look to the specifics of the measure. So I don't think that by including it, you would have to include the entire definition. I mean, but while at the same time, I do think it provides the hint that some people might want to look at it if that's something they're interested in. So I would think it adds something, probably not something without which the title is incomplete in the sense that it would be thrown out, but I do think it would help some voters possibly and probably ought to be included.
Well, I think I still would prefer not to put it in, as Mr. Gruskin suggested it. I would, you know, I agree with Mr. Carton that if we're going to do it, maybe we say what the definition is or summarize it. But I don't think the definition is surprising. I'd be more interested in doing that if there was something in the definition that would surprise somebody. But it strikes me that executive official is a term that's defined to be pretty much like I think it might be. It's officers, directors, managing partners, managing members, or a sole proprietor of a business entity. I mean, it's not just supervisors. It's somebody who seems like an executive official of a company. So I probably would not. I don't think I'll make a motion to make a change. But
I won't bother either.
Okay. Are there any other changes to the staff draft as we've amended it so far? If not, is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended with the understanding that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause, which begins on what is now line 13?
So moved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. And that completes action on number 73. The time is 2:13 p.m. Let's go on then with the next item on our agenda, 2007-2008, number 74, liability of business entities and their executive officials, criminal liability. Again, perhaps we could hear from Mr. Gruskin first, and if he doesn't have any general remarks, then we'll see if there's any questions for him. Are there any questions for Mr. Gruskin about the measure? I don't think I have any. I'm just trying to get caught up here.
Well, why don't I just ask this, make sure that I'm right here, that basically what this does is removes the civil penalty aspect and is in all other respects the same as seven.
Correct.
All right.
Then let's, if there's no other questions, let's turn to the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Mr. Friednesh, would you like to comment on that question?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would wish to comment on the single subject issue? Seeing none, I'll turn to board discussion of the single subject issue. Any discussion by the board, or is there a motion?
Well, since this addresses basically the concern I've had with the other versions, obviously, I don't have a problem with it as is.
Chairman, I go ahead and move that the title board find that 2007-2008 number 74 contains a single subject and proceed to set a title for the measure.
I'll second that.
That's been moved and seconded. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft of the titles. Mr. Gruskin, do you have any comments about the staff draft?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I've got a... Frankly, Mr. Chairman, the single subject statement, I think, requires the same sort of curative language that you've adopted previously. So I would suggest that the language that you've approved for number 73 be incorporated here. In addition, I think the language that is specific about the knowledge requirements of the measure also be used, and in light of your discussion about the importance of defining referencing the definition of executive official, I strike that from this language. I don't think there are any changes here that I haven't already presented and that you haven't already discussed, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
The first part of your suggested changes, I'm not reading it right just now, concerning the criminal liability a business entities?
Probably of would be good to keep of in there.
Okay. So it would read, concerning the criminal liability of a business entities, executive officials.
For the entities. You're
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
I got a little happy-go-lucky with my
okay.
Capacity there.
Thank you. Mr. Friednesh, do you have any comments? No comments. Anybody else wish to comment on the staff draft or Mr. Gruskin's suggested alternative? A discussion by the board?
I'm supportive of this, Mr. Gruskin's revision. I think it's accurate.
I'm supportive of most of it, but I actually think getting rid of the word extending leaves the main part of this kind of unclear, in the sense that nowhere else in the measure does it say, or in the title, does it say that what this is doing is making executive officials liable for the business entity's failure to discharge a duty. I mean, it kind of implies that as written, but you go from concerning the criminal liability of a business entity's executive officials, which without the extending doesn't tell you that you're creating a new liability, just tells you you're dealing with some sort of liability that they may have already or may have in the future. And then in connection therewith, you're conditioning, I mean, the way it would come off to me as written, without extending at least, is that we're stating the subject, and in connection therewith, we're creating all these conditions on the executive official's liability, when in fact those conditions are a very small exception to what is actually going on. So I think we either need to leave extending in there, or after in connection therewith, include a statement of the major purpose of the measure. And I would prefer to just probably leave extending in there for brevity's sake, but that is not the traditional way of doing things.
And by contrast, because we've had this kind of discussion before, I think I would prefer, instead of leaving extending in, to maybe go back to more of the approach I think that we did in number 73 and separate the expression of the single subject from what the measure does and say, concerning criminal liability of a business entity and in connection therewith extending the criminal liability, et cetera, assuming that actually works, and I haven't thought that through, but that I would prefer to maybe take that approach. But I understand Mr. Domenico's point is, I think for simplicity's sake, he'd rather have that exactly what the measure's doing right up front, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would swap extending. I would insert extending and get rid of concerning, but I think you could also make it work the other way by leaving extending out at the beginning and then after in connection therewith making a clear statement that you're making executive officials liable for the entity's omissions, essentially, in this case. So either way is okay.
Okay.
But I think we have to do one or something.
And I agree. I think that's a good point. Mr. Carton.
I think I know what the reaction of the chair will be to this, but I kind of like Mr. Domenico's suggestion about removing concerning and reinserting extending, so that it reads an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes extending the criminal liability. I think the title board has in recent cycles made this type of departure from the ordinary language in the titles that is always prefaced with concerning. And I guess I'd be interested to see what the proponents thought of that and what you think of that, Mr. Chair.
And you're right. I think we have sometimes departed, as Mr. Carton, as you've recognized, although my recollection, which may be faulty here, is that it tended to be where there was maybe a simpler title where everything, almost everything, could be accomplished in one sentence, one clause. And I don't feel strongly about it. It sounds like at least two board members are comfortable doing that, and there certainly is an economy that's achieved by doing that.
Well, can I just, I mean, I think I agree with you that this is a little bit different than how we've done it than when we've done that in the past. And I would suggest that if we do that, in this case, the in connection therewith language is also unnecessary, at least, and maybe I don't think it's misleading, unless the poor people of Colorado have gotten so used to reading these things in with this format that they sort of think that they can skip down to the in connection therewith, and that's where all the real action is. But I can't imagine anyone other than Mr. Gruskin reads these this way, who's so experienced. So, I mean, I would suggest that we just get rid of that language. Then you just have a statement of what's going on with no more attempt to kind of couch it as this is the single subject at the beginning, really, other than here's the main thing this does, and then it's got a few little detailed exceptions, which is what I think we would be doing if we start out by saying an amendment extending the criminal liability. We're not any longer saying an amendment concerning single subject and in connection therewith doing these things. We're just saying an amendment doing these things. And personally, I'm comfortable doing that because the way we constructed, in this case at least, because the single subject is really tied up in the main thing we're doing. And I think the title written that way would tell people what the main subject, the unifying theme of the measure is, while at the same time getting a little bit away from the kind of technical legalistic language.
And I do have concerns about the fact that this, I think the statute requires us to clearly express the single subject, and when we just simply launch into explaining what the measure does, I think we lose sight of a clear expression of the single subject. But, you know, that's just a difference of opinion. It sounds
yeah,
funny.
And I mean, I think the difference is just I think that the single subject is expressed in the same way, essentially just in a verb form rather than in a noun form. And makes it a little bit smoother reading to just say an amendment doing this thing, which is its single subject. But you're right, the statute does require us to express the single subject, and maybe that should be interpreted as we have to put a noun in there somewhere that says this is the single subject. I don't think it's, I don't read the statute as requiring it, as long as a single subject is expressed up front, as I think it would be either way.
And Mr. Gruskin or Mr. Friednash, do you have, I mean, given that I'm expressing a potential legal concern about the title, I want to provide especially the proponents an opportunity to weigh in on this issue.
Mr. Chairman, I have to be honest. I'd like to say I gave it as much thought as you all have. I just, my fourth grade teacher taught me not to have two ing words in a row, so that's the only reason I struck. And I initially, frankly, went with Mr. Domenico's suggestion and struck concerning, but then I'm always reminded of the chairman's worries about a title that doesn't have concerning, so I struck extending. But it certainly wasn't to, in any way, not allude to an extension of the criminal liability to a business official, business entity's executive officials for the entity's failure to perform. And, you know, if you're tied on concerning, I think you could say concerning an extension of criminal liability to a business entity's executive officials for the entity's failure to perform, or you can go with either of the options in front of you. I'm really, I think it's pretty tied, as Mr. Domenico points out, it's all pretty tied up.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Mr. Gruskin's willing to take the risk,
I say we go for it.
You know what? Let's surf this wave. See what happens.
We're just a pack of radicals in here today.
So I just want to kind of boil this down. Based on your comments, Mr. Domenico, you'd be supportive of eliminating concerning, replacing that with extending, and then deleting all of the "and in connection therewith" language?
Yes.
Because I think I...
I'm supportive
of the first change, but I'm not sure where I'm at on the second, but I don't want to belabor this. And so I guess what I'll do is, if it's appropriate, Mr. Chair, I'm just going to go ahead and make a motion. And that would be on line one, delete concerning. And I would move the staff draft as it appears on the screen with Mr. Gruskin's revisions as amended. And so that would include the "and in connection therewith" language. That's my motion.
Can I make one suggestion about that before we get to whether to get rid of "in connection therewith" or not? I think it would be a little bit clearer and more accurate to change extending the criminal liability of a business entity's executive officials to extending the criminal liability of a business entity to its executive officials. I think that more accurately captures what's going on. The way it is up there now sort of suggests that they're already, which I guess they actually are, but I think this is more clear.
I do too.
And, you know, I don't really feel strongly about "in connection therewith." I just think it's kind of a vestige of the old regime. And, you know, if we were starting from scratch, we wouldn't include language like that in it. And it's in there because we used to have subject and then action. And now we've got kind of the subject that includes some of the action, and then we've just got more of the kind of exceptions and details. And I would think it would read a little bit better without that and still capture what's going on and avoid, you know, the remote possibility that there'd be some confusion that there's only action in these titles after "in connection therewith," that you could read "in connection therewith" and then what follows and you would see everything that happens in the measure. Because it's not, that's usually how we've written these, and it doesn't do that anymore. Some of the action is only before "in connection therewith," so I would just get rid of it. But,
and I guess I would just boil down my response to, in the past, when we haven't used concerning, I think that hasn't prevented us from putting an "and" connection there with it. I understand completely what you're saying, but I'm just, personally, I prefer to keep it in there. I'm part of the past.
Yeah, you're only willing to make a partial break with the past. I'm just the only true radical here. I think it's okay in there. I would just, if we were really kind of trying to come up with something that best expressed this in a clear way that average voters would understand, I think we'd take it out, but I'm okay if we're going to only move partially in that direction.
And I would be okay with this approach if we did change the extending to the extension of, so that we were still expressing a subject. I think we'd still have to say concerning the, in my old world view of the science of setting titles, that it would be concerning the extension of criminal liability of business entities, entity to, et cetera, but.
See, that just makes me nervous if we do that, because then I really do think that you're implying after the in connection therewith that that's what's going on, that, and that this way, saying extending, saying this amendment does something, putting a verb form in the beginning, extending the criminal liability, tells people right up front that they're extending liability from businesses to its executive officials, whereas saying this concerns the extension of criminal liability, it may be somewhere else that does that, and here, if you did that, then after in connection therewith, all that there would be is these language about conditioning the official's liability, which I think would really be misleading. So if we were going to do that, then I think you would have to, after in connection therewith, say this measure extends liability. It's this way, I think it captures that concept very clearly, even more clearly than doing it that way. And so I prefer it this way, and would object to doing it that way without an additional statement that there's some extension happening in this measure.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there a motion?
I made a motion.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Carton made the motion, and Mr. Domenico.
Did your motion include the slight change that I made with entity?
I'd accept that as a friendly amendment if that's appropriate.
All right. Then I will second your motion.
And then that's as it's reading on the screen. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. No. That motion carries 2-1. Further changes to the staff draft? If not, is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? For the record, and I should have done this on the last measure, let me just go ahead and read this into the record. Then the motion is that the title would read as follows. An amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes extending the criminal liability of a business entity to its executive officials for the entity's failure to perform a specific duty imposed by law, and in connection therewith, conditioning an executive official's liability upon his or her knowledge of the duty imposed by law and of the business entity's failure to perform such duty. And is that a semicolon? Then semicolon. And allowing an executive official who discloses to the Attorney General all facts known to the official concerning a business's criminal conduct to use that disclosure as an affirmative defense to criminal charges, period, with the understanding that the ballot title and submission clause would read the same except in the form of a question. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no.
No. No. That motion carries 2-1. That completes action on number 74. The time is 2:38 p.m. Let's move on then to number 2007, 2008, number 75. criminal conduct by businesses, civil liability. Again, I believe this one is a measure where Mr. Gruskin represents proponents. Perhaps we could find out if there are any questions for Mr. Gruskin. Mr. Gruskin, I wanted to ask in subsection 1, the first provision, the provision says that individuals residing in Colorado may file a private right of action, et cetera, et cetera, against the business entity or against the business entity's executive officials, plural, where such officials knew of the specific duty, et cetera, et cetera. Would that private right of action have to be filed against all of the executive officials as a group, or could it be any one of them?
The intent is clearly to permit the... First of all, it's permissive. So I think that it is... leaves the discretion in the hands of the plaintiff. But secondly, the intent there was simply an economy of language, not to say official or officials, where one was clearly subsumed within the other. So the answer is no, because an individual could file an action, they could file against the official that actually met the criteria in the statute.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Gruskin?
Am I right that effectively the difference between this and 73 is that the only really effective difference is the executive officials under this version on 75 would be only subject to the civil penalties and would not themselves be subject to the criminal penalties, right?
That's correct. One of the issues that came up at review and comment was, is this measure, did you intend for 74 and 75 to be tied together, in other words, require the passage of both? And the answer we provided was no, and that's why we made some of the changes we did. They could pass independently, they could be circulated independently, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, there is no necessary predicate of criminal liability in order to pursue this remedy.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Any other questions? Thank you. Let's turn then to the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Mr. Friednash, do you have any comments about that issue?
Thank you. Briefly again, Doug Friednash for the record. First, from two different perspectives. The measure, and I've outlined this argument more than once, so I'll do it again, but briefly. I believe that civil liability is one subject. The damage portion and the exemption of damages from spending and revenue limits is a separate and distinct issue. I'd also point out that, 18.1606, which this references, does not address the conduct of an executive official. It only deals with the conduct of businesses. Now, this private right of action measure deals with executive officials and businesses, two different liability portions that would attach, two different civil liability attach provisions that would attach under this proposal. And then it allows a resident to bring an action against the business, a business entity, for conduct that's violated under 18.1606, and that's something you can follow by reading 18.1606, but also against an executive official for conduct that would be a violation under 18.1606. I think that because of that piece, there's got to be a stronger nexus between the two, and I think this one can only be go in effect if 74 goes into effect. In other words, this is dependent upon 74 in order to be passed. And I think that needs to be spelled out, because I think that's a separate issue as well. It doesn't contain executive official. It's unclear what those elements would be because of its reliance on statute.
Well, why would it be dependent on 74? I think Mr. Gruskin said it's not, and I don't see what in here, if there's no criminal liability for the executive officials, what's the problem?
Well, it's using a new term, the concept of executive official, and right. Talking about, in fact, part of the damage portion, it talks about the conduct that compensatory or punitive damages may be awarded to any governmental entity that imposed by law the specific duty to be performed by the business entity. There's no corresponding language in 18.1606 that addresses that or the executive official. These are new terms that fall within the scope of this proposal. So it's making a reference to damage provision that's not even contemplated under 18.1606. I think they are, in order for this to become effective, to go after an executive official, it has to be contingent upon the other measure passing. I don't see anywhere. If you look at 18.1606 in its current status, there's no discussion about governmental entities. There's no discussion about specific duties to be performed by a governmental entity or under the current status of the law. Well, this is a new aspect.
No, I agree with you, but I don't see why that requires 74 or 73 or anything. I guess it wouldn't 74 to pass as well. I mean, because that doesn't help clarify any of those problems, right? I mean, the question of are there some duties imposed by law that aren't imposed by a specific entity is a problem, whether there's 74 or not 74, right? I mean, because 74 doesn't do anything to clear that up, as you pointed out earlier.
Well, I guess the question is for the drafters of this measure, what is contemplated by subsection 3? I mean, in a civil action brought under this section, compensatory or punitive damages may be awarded to any governmental entity that imposed by law the specific duty to be performed by the business entity. I don't know exactly what that's addressing in relationship to 18.1606. And that is a specific measure of conduct that this civil claim is based on.
Right, and I mean, I agree with you. I think that damages thing, it leaves a lot to be figured out in the future. I don't think it's clear to me. I mean, part of the point of this, I think, is that under current law, nobody can recover damages, presumably because they haven't personally been injured or something like that, suffered a tort-type injury that they could recover for. And this is attempting to do something other than what tort law does, but tort law already provides for compensatory and punitive damages, and where someone can actually show they were damaged by someone's failure to live up to a legal duty. And so I agree with you that I'm not sure exactly what kind of damages this is going to result in. I'm not sure, though, that makes it a single subject violation, or that it makes it so unclear that I can't set a title. I mean, there's lots of things that we get in these initiatives that we don't understand the full effect and are going to have to rely on the legislature spelling it out or litigation to spell it out. The damages issue, what someone's going to actually have to prove, where the money goes, if there's no obvious governmental entity, I agree with you, are sort of open questions, but I'm not sure that is something we can that's within our jurisdiction to resolve. But I do wonder, you know, my concern with the other versions of this, the previous versions, was adopting kind of a broadly worded single subject of liability for criminal acts of business entities, and then doing two sort of related things in some ways, but not necessarily related and sort of surprising, which is extending liability for a business entity's misbehavior to certain individuals, and then also extending civil liability. This kind of seems to get around that, don't you think? Because all you're doing now is creating civil liability. But I wonder if you think there's some similar problem to what I expressed before.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's got two aspects of civil liability. One is to say you can go after a business entity for conduct that took place under 18.1606. And then it's saying, as a separate and distinct aspect of civil liability, you can go against executive officials, not for what the business did, but as a separate and distinct basis for going after them for conduct that they knew of and didn't report, or where the business entity failed to act in a particular manner. And that's what's confusing to me, because when you start talking about an executive official, it's something that wasn't contemplated, it's not contemplated under current law under 18.1606, and then you start talking about damages that result from that and tie it into governmental conduct. It's particularly confusing as to what exactly the elements of this claim look like for specifically an executive official. And I guess that's kind of the crux of what I'm trying to say is, you know, there really are two much different pieces of the civil liability component. And what is the civil liability for an executive official? I don't know. And because there is no discussion about specific duties owed by governmental entities under 18.1606, I think this is a separate and distinct issue as it applies to executive officials. So it's not just creating a civil remedy. It's creating different types of civil remedies. Within that framework, it's real confusing as to what this is doing. It seems like it's expanding the type of liability that's contemplated by 18.1606.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on the question of the single subject issue? If not, is there discussion by the board? Mr. Carton?
Mr. Chairman, could I just ask one quick question? Under the terms of the measure, is it only individuals that can bring suit? And by individual, does that mean human being? That question would be for Mr. Gruskin. In other words, it doesn't include an entity under the language of the proposal. It says an individual residing in Colorado, so it's exclusive to humans residing in Colorado.
Natural persons.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion by the board?
Well, I mean, this to me solves part of the problem I've had with 73 and some of the other ones, in that it doesn't include the extension of criminal liability to business entities. And I've been going back and forth on whether it solves enough of the problem to push me to the other side. I mean, this really, to me, goes right up to the line of a single subject, in that it does relate to, as the staff draft says, civil liability for criminal conduct by business entities, which I think the fact that we're able to narrow the statement of the single subject is helpful, and helpful to me in the idea that we're not relying on too broad of a subject in order to fit everything under it. On the other hand, it's still, to me, the single subject, and I think there's a real potential for surprise that someone thinking, well, we're voting on civil liability for criminal conduct by business entities, they're surprised that we're also making new individuals subject to this liability. And so this is a tough one for me. I think at the moment I'm leaning towards finding it to be a single subject, because it removes the, we've narrowed the subject significantly from the previous versions that I had trouble with, and the statement that civil liability for criminal conduct is not so broad that we can fit almost anything within it. And so I think I'm willing to go along with this one, but I'm troubled.
Mr. Garden, do you have any comments?
No, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't elaborate. It seems to me that there's a central theme, that there's a single subject, or that the purpose or purposes are interrelate, and that I personally, in my reading of the text and the discussion here, can find, I find an absence of surprise or some type of hidden outcome. And so I would be supportive of moving forward and setting a ballot title.
And I agree, and I agree with Mr. Domenico. This is a better case for single subject than number 73. So with that, is there a motion?
I move that Title Board Fine 2007-2008 number 75 contains a single subject and proceed with setting a ballot title.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Let's turn to the staff draft, which Ms. Gomez has displayed on the screen in the room. And I'll ask Mr. Gruskin if he's had an opportunity to review that and if he has any concerns about the staff draft.
I have just a couple of thoughts that I've got to propose. To prove my flexibility, you'll see certain handwritten changes there to reflect the actions regarding the capital titles. I think the reference to 18-1606-1A in the title is not going to mean a lot of things to a lot of people. So I've just tried to clarify using language that you have already adopted in other ballot titles, making it clear that what the referenced provision does, which is it relates to the entity's failure to perform a specific duty imposed by, and then also the conditioning language that you've already adopted.
Can I ask you one quick question? I seemed like a good approach. Would you mind, this relates to a minor point that I raised in a question to you earlier, in line 3, changing executive official to the plural, I'm trying to be more faithful to the text of the measure and suggest amending that to say against a business entity or its executive officials.
I think those are both good changes.
Thank you.
You may, if I could take a look. You may then want to, on line 5, say conditioning and strike and, make executive officials plural, possessive, so transpose the apostrophe in the S, and strike his or her and insert their. And I think that the use of the singular in the of executive official on line 9 is consistent with the language text, which allows the use of the affirmative defense by any individual.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Friednesh, if you've had an opportunity, if you want to comment on Mr. Gruskin's suggestions.
You know, I have no comment with respect to the changes that you just made. Okay. I mean, my general comments are, you know, pretty much in line with what I've already said. I think it's confusing. I think the aspect of the governmental damage portion of it is particularly confusing as to how that's going to work. The fact that there are compensatory or punitive damages that can be awarded to a governmental entity that's not in there, I think that should be addressed. I think it is substantive. There's no discussion of the exemption of revenue and spending limits for those local and state governmental entities. And I guess I would echo the thought that, you know, I think there is real potential for surprise that new people will be exposed to civil liability as a result of this change. So those are my general comments. And I may look to have some other comments after I look through the changes, but at this point I don't.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Carton.
Mr. Chairman, I have a follow-up question. I apologize for this if this is kind of what has been fleshed out in Mr. Friednesh's comments and in Mr. Domenico's response. But focusing on the staff draft language, the clause requiring that damages in the civil action be awarded to the governmental entity that imposed the specific duty to be performed by the business entity. And the language of the measure in subsection 3 states, in a civil action brought under this section, compensatory or punitive damages may be awarded to any governmental entity imposed by law the specific duty to be performed by the business entity. And I guess my question, and again, I apologize, Mr. Gruskin, under the measure, can damages only be awarded to a governmental entity, or can the individual who brings suit, can award of damages be made to the individual that brought the suit as well?
Under this provision, the only award of damages that's permitted is to the governmental entity.
Okay.
Presumably, if there's some other statutory or common law right of action, they could join the two together. But in light of your comment, you're absolutely right. You've already made a change on number 73, and it seems to me that language was adopted by the board and would certainly be acceptable to the proponents as reflecting the intent and not using the requiring language. I know that's a slightly different issue than what you raised, Mr.
Yeah. Chairman, but I want to make sure I cover that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think probably just putting in the language we used in 73 would be an improvement. And I just, the way I think I interpret, part of the problem here is there are, I guess, there may be some duties imposed by law that aren't, that you can't point to a specific entity, which was what I was confused about what would happen in those cases, because I do interpret this as not allowing the individual to get anything other than attorney's fees. But now that I've sort of thought that through, I would think that at the very least, if there's a some kind of a common law or just sort of general statutory duty imposed that's not, you can't point to the health department or whomever. The state of Colorado is a governmental entity who is essentially imposing that duty, and I guess that's where those damages would go to. Or they could go to the Solicitor General as a governmental entity. As an individual, I'd recommend.
Well, then I...
That's the best I can do to clear that up. I do think it's a little bit imprecise and unclear.
And going back, thank you, going back to number 73, the language in line 6 requiring the damages, I've already forgotten what we... Allowing?
I think we should... I think that's right, allowing an award of damages in the civil action to the governmental entity.
On line 6, strike requiring that, insert allowing an award of on line 7, strike be awarded.
Yes, I think that's correct. Mr. Friednesh, comments?
Real quickly. You know, this is part of the problem. 18.1606 doesn't just apply to duties imposed by governmental entities. It's much more far-reaching than that. And that's why I think this is so confusing, because if the only damages that are allowable for civil damages are damages that would be provided by governmental entities, from duties owed by governmental entities, I think this has to clearly indicate that it's limiting damages to those type of damages.
Well, I mean, I have to say, and I think I've said it before, probably not very clearly, it really is unclear to me what effect this is going to have, because if creating a private right of action, as this does, as 73 does, doesn't, to me, necessarily take away the requirement, when you're saying that you can bring an action for civil damages, well, in a typical action for civil damages, you still have to show you were personally harmed, you have damages that you want to recover. So it's unclear to me really what this adds to existing law. I mean, if an individual is personally harmed by the criminal conduct, by the failure of a business entity to live up to a duty imposed by law, and they're damaged by it, they should already have, under existing law, the right to bring an action for civil damages. And so it's unclear to me what this adds to tort law, essentially. And so I really do wonder what in practice this would be like. I mean, would it mean that an individual could come in? Would this be interpreted in such a way that any individual who hears that a business has, say, been accused by the state of committing some crime, would then every individual in the state be allowed to come into court, file a civil action, and recover some damage, even though they can't personally, under tort law, show that they've been injured? I don't know. I would think that would be sort of an outlandish result if every citizen could bring a separate suit without limitation. And on the other hand, if that's not what this does, I don't know what it does do. And so it is a confusing effort trying to give people the right to civil damages for something that it seems to me they already have the right to if they can show they've been harmed. If this means anyone can bring it as sort of a private attorney general, then maybe that's the way it'll be interpreted, but it's not clearly written to do that. And I wish it were. I guess that's all I'll say.
Mr. Cart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess just to be responsive to Mr. Friednash, I understand your position and your statement and argument relative to kind of the exclusivity of damages awards for governmental entities, and I think what you're arguing is that the title should include that. I'm reluctant. I think that the language in the title as it is adequately describes what's in the measure relative to the damages. I think our discussion surrounding who or what those damages can be awarded to is an interpretation that at this point I'd be reluctant to insert into the title. And so I appreciate the argument, but I would support moving forward with the language on the award of damages as it presently appears in the staff draft.
And I think there are some good questions being raised here about the meaning and effect of the measure, but I think the changes as they now appear on the screen, I can support. Ms. Gomez has made those changes to reflect, I think, Mr. Gruskin's suggestions, and as well as what we did in, I believe, number 73. I suppose I would just go ahead, for the sake of discussion, move those changes as shown on the screen. We'll see if there's other changes as well, but just to see if there's support for that. And then if that's adopted, at some point I'll read it into the record, since we don't have that in front of us right now. But is there a second to adopt those changes?
Second.
And Ms. Gomez has changed the display so that we can see how the title then would read with those changes incorporated. In fact, since I'm going to do this anyway, I'll go ahead and read it into the record as how the title would read if that motion is adopted and no further changes were adopted. The title would say, an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning civil liability for criminal conduct by business entities, in connection therewith, allowing a Colorado resident to bring an action for civil damages against a business entity or its executive officials for the entity's failure to perform a specific duty imposed by law, conditioning executive officials' liability upon their knowledge of the duty imposed by law and of the business entity's failure to perform such duty, allowing an award of damages in the civil action to the governmental entity that imposed the specific duty to be performed by the business entity, permitting an individual who brings a successful civil action to be awarded attorney fees and costs, and allowing an executive official who discloses to the Attorney General all facts known to the official concerning a business's criminal conduct to use that disclosure as an affirmative defense to these civil charges, with the understanding that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause. That has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Are there any further suggested changes to the staff draft as so amended? If not, is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as so amended?
Move to adopt staff draft as amended.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on number 75, and the time is 3:14 p.m. We'll take about a 5-minute break.